Welcome back. It's the co-ed edition, Birds with Feathers. Your girl AJ's Bird Princess here. Welcoming back my co-ed as usual. What up, Eddie B?
Hey, what's going on? I'm good. It's Thursday. Yay, one more day to Friday.
Thursday. Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah,
Definitely thirsty after getting some exercise today, finally, and getting out this house. So, but how you feeling?
all right. I can't wait till the weekend. Need some rest.
Yeah, we both do. Well, I've gotten plenty of rest being unemployed right now, but at the same time, I needed to work. But I know what the mental strain can do when you do have a job and when you don't. So, anyway. All right, Eddie. So, we're going to basically touch a lot of small topics today just because, for the sake of just being in the flow of what's been going on the timelines. First, I just want to just talk about how we have now accepted the fact that the Sixers are out of it. We didn't really talk since the night before the elimination game. So, how did you take everything that went down after we said that we would be pissed staying up late when it looked like they didn't?
You know what? I was tired and cranky because the game started at 9 o'clock, and I was like, "Oh God."
Like we said, we didn't want to be up that late unless they were planning on winning, and that's not how it went. So.
And then a lot of things. And honestly, there's not many that I'm mad at about this loss. I mean, I'm more, there's one player I'm mad at, and you know who I'm gonna say.
Well, his name has been shunned since the night of that game. So,
And I honestly, I hope this is the last time we see him in a Sixers jersey. So,
well, I think for his sake, I think that's already decided. I think that's pretty much already decided. Even if they entertain coming back, he's going to have to be coming off the bench or in a lesser position because it really didn't make a difference. He didn't live up to what he was supposed to.
waste of money. Like they paid
It was a
him.
waste of money, but that was the front office. You know, they took that gamble. So.
Yeah, well, he ended up being a max contract player, then, but didn't have the, and all of a sudden, I just don't that part right there,
Yeah.
crazy. Like you had great, like you had Buddy Hield come out and finally gave him a chance to play, and he fucking tore it up.
Which makes it more nerve-wracking or more frustrating to know in that it took that long for him to get even comfortable shooting the ball because he wasn't doing it the whole series. And so for him to light it up in game six, it was like, all right, that
Well,
should have been.
you also got to look at his playing time in the other games. So, like, how are you gonna, you can't develop a rhythm. You're only playing like 2 minutes or a minute.
I mean, yeah, hence the reason why he was saying, like, if he had had more playing time. Now, we don't know what's going to happen.
I think they should bring him back, honestly. I
I
mean,
mean, if, yeah.
the upside with him is that, you can see that he's not afraid to shoot. I don't know what happened with Tobias. Tobias just became the invisible man.
Every single playoff year when it got, I mean, imagine had this been the second round again, like it would have been just as frustrating because
He's like that
every,
meme of Homer Simpson, like disappearing into the bushes, like,
yeah, it just
hey.
seems like at the moments that he probably could have been a factor, and the fact that they lost like by such a slim margin is what makes it more nerve-wracking, more annoying, because every game should have just been a blowout if it was going to be like that,
Yeah,
you know.
like he's your starter and he can't even get a point. Like,
He got
or
zero
not
points,
even.
but 15 assists.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, come on, give me 10 points at least. Like, you
He
gotta
should
be
have
able
at least double digits. I don't care. Every game, he should have at least
to. If
gotten 10
he
and
puts up 10 points in each of those games, we actually win.
no, and we said already that this is stuff we've already said, but it's just frustrating to see the same result. Now, I want also Kelly Oubre to come back because I think Kelly helped a lot under the bucket. I think he was a defense. His defense could be a little worked on, but I just don't see a reason for him not to come back. I'm even fine with even bringing Booty back if Booty want to come back for one more year.
Oh, yeah, he's good to have. I mean,
He
he's good
definitely
to
was
have.
a floor general. He was a floor general more than Maxie
Yeah.
was. Maxie was too busy trying to get to the bucket.
I like the attitude too. He showed some fire, so that's what I like to see.
He's a veteran. Yeah, he's a veteran. I don't know if you've paid attention to how their salary, as much as like, you know, Eagles fans obsess over the salary cap stuff. I don't know how it works in the NBA, but I would hope that the Sixers would at least try to keep some continuity, because if that's one thing that I got from the post game presser the next day was that You know, Embiid, just like Jalen Hurts, have always had constant change every year, and he needs some constancy. So it's obvious that him and Maxey are going to be the factors as to who how they build this team.
I'll
So
say good. I want to see Campaign there next year, and I want to
I wouldn't mind
see,
Campaign back either. Yeah.
and I want Council back too.
Council's just getting started, so they'd be dumb to let him go somewhere
And
else.
honestly, and I want Melton off the bench. I mean, I want De'Andre Melton off the bench. Help and helping. I mean, he wasn't healthy, and that's why. He shows more fire than the starters do. So I mean, I
I
want.
agree. And you know, I have a huge crush on Melton, first of all. So if he comes back, I would not be mad. But the fact that his back became such an issue, I just want to I'm with Tyrone saying like he needed a bacchiotomy. He should have got
Back
that
the
bacchiotomy sooner.
out of
Because I mean, when he airballed a lot more than he hit, but I have to admit that he wasn't afraid to shoot, so that's something. I just feel like obviously the only person that was a glaring issue was Tobias, and which is a shame because when he got on the team, he wasn't as much of a liability as he became. So I just think if maybe that became with age, came with his physicality, because his defense turned up 2 years ago. So I don't know what the hell happened there either. I don't know if his just body is just starting to give out with all, because the Knicks were mad physical. They're still physical now with the Pacers. So.
Man, I swear that
But I swear they stole already 2 games, in my opinion. I'm sorry. I'm not to be a hater. They
apparently there
stole
was some
last
more
game.
controversial stuff going on with that
Yep.
series,
Yep.
and it leads me to believe a lot of things about like if this is what the league wants right now.
Yeah,
Is the
no. I mean,
Knicks
this is the stuff that
is the
bites
Knicks.
into those controversies. Yes, that the refs sometimes bet on certain teams they want in the what do they call them? I forget what the final round is called, the finals. Because you can't tell me that some of the stuff that everyone's still complaining about, even with our series, now you had the freaking Indiana Pacers coach ejected because he saw the BS coming a mile away. And now they have all these complaints about the calls that were missed. You know?
Yeah, did you listen to that essentially that whistleblower thing too?
Yeah, I didn't listen to it yet, but I will peep it
That
after I got the shower. But
is crazy. Like
I'm
somebody
sure
else,
it'll go ahead.
it's crazy. It's crazy. Somebody else put me onto that, and it's like the simple fact is like how the betting works and like how what the refs can do, and it's crazy.
How they
Like
can influence a game.
about garbage points at the end with the fouls, like there's a clear like there actually is. Well, we'll talk about that later. Once you listen to it, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we will, because I think that should be a separate pod, because we'll talk about that, because this is the reason why, too, that a lot of us fans get on that whole. Especially on social media, and we conspiracy theories will bloom after a game is obviously blown. But I'm sorry, you have to get to the point where you have to wonder why that whole Tim Donaghy thing became a thing, because some stuff just seems so classically flawed that could easily be made up, you know, in the same game and not after. You know what I mean? That it festers how a whole game can go. I mean, like you said, technically, that series should have been tied with the Sixers, really. You know, we'll never know,
Well,
obviously. It's over.
yeah, we won't. So, but yeah,
Okay.
but hey, moving on. How about those fills, huh?
That's what I'm saying. That thank you. Good segue. I think at this point now, the Phillies pretty much have every reason to be a little tired from whooping ass like they've been every
Yeah, right.
series.
Yeah. They
Even
lost
with
their
the
first game, what, in 10 the other day? Yeah.
yeah, with Toronto. Or was it Toronto?
It was
Yeah, they just
Toronto.
Yeah, they just played Toronto. I mean, honestly, you can tell they're in the zone. Even without Trey in the lineup, they're looking pretty solid.
Hey, Cody Clemens came up and like showing why he wants to stay for a little bit. So
Big
he came
at
up
the
pleading
right
his
time.
He's pleading his case to stay when Turner comes back too.
Well, this is a good thing because the Phillies are actually number one for once. They haven't been number one in the standings in like a
Not
week.
this time of year, no,
Yeah,
never.
this time of year they never were number one. So that's a good sign for postseason hopes. What do you
I haven't seen that since. Wow, back the Kruk and Dalton team back in spring of was it 94?
Oh, wow. You're going back.
I'm just saying, but that's the last time I saw them actually. They were like in the driver's seat and actually in early and actually dictating what's
early
going
in the
on.
scene.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Because I feel like any other years that I've remembered, they've had to kind of chug their way up to the top. But it's always been,
had a
what, great?
couple, maybe the Robin Ryan Howard's era, they had a maybe one season like that,
Yeah,
but
they had to have. Yeah, I know they had within the last
yeah.
10 years
But they
had
were just dominant
choreographed
that
pretty good.
year with
Yeah.
Aaron Dalton and Dykstra and all those guys and Brock. That's when they were up like 15 games by the time the summer hit, and which was crazy.
And they could very much do that now, if not more, because right now they're already starting off with Bryce is in his flow finally, because he hit another Grand Slam, which I didn't see that crap coming at all. I couldn't believe that. And then you just see a lot of consistency with the pitching. I mean, Nola still had a last outing, but like I said, the one thing about Nola is that he's going to be extremely remarkable one series and then flat out,
He's a slow starter too sometimes. He'll settle in. I think he'll settle in. He's not, I mean, he's not alarmingly bad yet. So
No, he's not. But I hate the fact that he could be if he's tired enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what I always had about him that I can't stand, is that you never know when he's going to have like the Tucker series that might help them get over the hump, and that's when he decides to crap out. But I don't know. Santana had a good outing for once because, he had the support obviously from that game. And it's good to see Ranger. I mean, his streak finally
No,
broke, but he was smoking hot.
Ranger being Ranger, right?
Danger Ranger. Ranger was definitely very, very, very dependable and very reliable. Not that we didn't see that coming, but and then obviously, what is his name? The redhead pitcher that's coming up. Thornbull.
You talking about Turnbull? Turnbull
Turnbull.
was, didn't he? Was he sitting out for a minute? Was he injured?
I don't know, but they used him toward the end of the second to last game, right, to close it. So
Yeah, I mean, they're
they
trying to
gave him a
slowly
little post
work him
game.
in, slowly work
Yeah.
him back in. Yeah.
Yeah, because he might have, maybe that's why he was so frustrated on last week's series, because he had to get out early. But he's looking very promising, obviously. You see our boy Orion in there every now and then closing and helping out with closing. So that's good to see too, because I still feel I have faith in him since from the NL playoffs. They got 20, 50 million rounds. I forget the name of them, but the conference round or series round they were in. And I felt like, even though he was thrown in when him being young, but I thought that that was promising to know that they even had that much confidence, even though they were desperate to put him in. So I feel like he could, between him and Alvarado, you never know, he could turn out to be the guy that kind of helps bring that extra arm when they're having a
Yeah, because
closer.
I don't know. We don't know what's gonna happen with Sir Anthony. I mean, I
Yeah,
don't.
we still discuss. We don't know. Like, it's TBD, it seems like, with him. But I feel like it's very disappointing, and I don't
Oh
think
yeah.
people say it, that he might have been a bust. But it's,
All of a sudden this year he's like he just
he's
like he
struggling.
forgot how to pitch. Like he forgot how to
He's
pitch all of a sudden.
struggling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wonder if the surgery exacerbated whatever he thought was going to work better for him, and maybe it got worse. Or maybe his conditioning is not working for him. I don't know. You'll never know that behind the scenes stuff until he's like off the team and it's a past story. But right now, it just seems like he's a disappointment. Is there anybody else who shocked you so far with them being refs?
Hoffman has been good coming out
Hoffman
of
is
that
very dependable too, since from the.
bullpen. Yeah, I mean, coming out of the bullpen, he's been great. I'm like, wow.
And he's calm. And he's a
Yeah.
very calm guy. That's good to
Yeah.
know. So even when he's in a pressure situation, you don't see him like looking shaky,
Losing.
like I'm just
Yeah.
gonna keep pitching. Like, what can I do?
Yeah.
That's good to know. As far as the roster, let me see. I feel like what's very encouraging on top of the leadoff, as far as the leadoff, is that you had pointed out to me, and I didn't. I'm sad I didn't even notice it until after we talked about it. But Schwarber. His conditioning is obviously much better this year, and they were saying that a lot of the mobility training that he took over the season is really what's helped him run
Yeah.
bases. Because
He's hitting for yeah.
he's hitting for what? Go ahead.
He's hitting for contact. He's not he's getting hits off of like he's playing small ball, like which I'm impressed with. Like so
Is that the biggest discipline you think, that that's really what probably left them hanging in the playoffs was that a lot of guys were so busy trying to get the home runs and not focusing on just getting.
Well, yeah, you tend to leave a lot of men. You're not playing small ball too. If you can't play small ball, you'll have an enemy leaving, and they've been stranded guys this year too. But but they've actually, because Alec Bohm's been on a fucking tear.
Yeah, you're talking about a glow up. He has made a major glow up this season already. So I'm hoping.
I mean, last year he hit well too, but it's crazy how he started off fast this year.
But he fell off so hard. That's why we're praying, and I'm praying it's going to be consistent.
I mean, 100 RBIs last year is good. Imagine what he's going to try. Imagine what he's going to put out this year if he's already starting off like.
Because it's the confidence that he needs to know that he. Because most of his fans complained early on in the season when we thought it was going to start off being a, hot mess, and it suddenly everybody started to find contact, and it's just very encouraging to know.
Yeah, and the good thing is we have a lot of key players like that can sub in, like that are able to just come in and do well. Like we're slowly but surely getting production out of like Rojas, and like I mean, he's not here for his bat, and that's not why we bought him here. We bought him up because of his glove. Yeah. Not his bat.
Stott is helpful, obviously. Sosa.
Pache. He won a game for us, and Sosa was a steal. We got him. Everybody was like, why don't we get this guy? And look at him. Like, he can play. Yeah. He come in and play third base. He come in and play. He comes in and plays. He can come and play shortstop. He can come in and do whatever. Whatever's needed.
Yeah, he's definitely helpful when he's a shortstop, honestly. He can kind of split that gap from time to time, and it's very helpful and attentive. I mean, I'm very encouraged, and I'm not worried about Trey as much as probably people are bummed that he's out for probably the rest
of
the
season. He'll be okay, yeah.
I mean, but he'll be fine. I think he'll come in just when that lull starts to kick in, and he might be helpful when it really matters. I mean, I personally still think he needs to have a hamburger.
You want him to eat?
He's too thin to me. I worry about, like, say we get some tornado like winds one game and he's gonna fly away with the bat. Like, I just want him to put some meat on him, just like Bryce. Like, I just pack on some muscle, something. I just feel like he's so small. But he can't. Maybe his metabolism's like
that. Just is it? Just his body
just
type.
Just the way he digests. I'm just a hater because I'm thick, so I can't. I hate all you fuckers who can't gain weight. Like, you take mine, put it in a jar, and send it to
like,
you.
Like, ooh, I just looked at a picture of a burger. I gained a pound. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. I think about food, and I wake up 5 pounds fatter. It's just ridiculous. But no, they're very encouraging, and it's good to know that we could focus on them after the Sixers exited out. But, and honestly, we can't say enough about how thankful we are that we still have a player like Embiid even lasting as long as he has. Because as you see, the injury bug almost took him away again, and his face froze. So,
yeah, I mean, that's. Well, what else can you ask? What else can you ask from me? He's
right.
He's in there, but. Had paralyzed face, and he's putting up 30 points a night still.
Not like, even trying. Yeah,
like at 75% or less, and he's still putting up 30-something points. Like, the one game, he had, like, the team, he had, what, all 15 points to start off the game.
In the first quarter.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, ain't nobody else scored yet. And he's the only one scoring. I'm like, wow.
And when the PR team gets a hold of all his best buckets this year on top of that 70-point game, they're definitely going to include that basket where he flipped and still went in the basket. I still can't believe that play because he wasn't even trying. He was pissed he didn't get fouled and knew why he got a bucket. I'm like, did he even notice that went in? Like, I can't tell you how many times that's happened, which proves to me that he is so used to knowing where his hands, where his throws his body and arch supposed to be right.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's amazing when he hits baskets he don't even mean to hit. Like,
And that's not fair. That's not fair when a guy his size can shoot like that.
Well, and that's why people get frustrated with him. Because I understand, especially when he's injured every playoff game, that it is most important for him to stay under the basket just because of that limitation. If it's always a leg or a knee, I feel like that's where he was most important to be under the basket more, close to the basket. But I felt like he split the difference a little bit more because I think he was hearing some of that criticism and realizing, like, I can't always be the perimeter guy. But if nobody's shooting, You know, if people get cold, what was he supposed to do? Because even when Maxie got cold, it's like, if he's the guy who just all he got to do is stand right on the arch and just hit it, like he's going to do it because he's used to at this point being the guy who had to be both sides because sometimes his team didn't deliver. So I'm just ending that portion of this pod to say I'm very thankful to have somebody in Embiid as much as I've been frustrated with his injuries, as much as he's, I'm sure, been frustrated. And today, this year was the first year we actually got to hear him finally. I think it was Keith Pompey gave him the chance to really vent about how he's aware that every year it's something, you know, and he knows that everyone's lost faith in him, but he has to care about himself. You know, he has to worry about himself and his family. And the stress of not being able to get back when he wanted to after a surgery is even more stressful. You know, he missed like 30 something games. So you have to realize, like, as a fan, it's frustrating, but you have to be thankful because not only did he finally get a 70-point game, but he also finally got MVP the year before. So it's sad that this part of his career it takes for him to finally get like the rewards, but we know what the ultimate reward would be if that
No, we
doesn't
know what he
happen.
wants. He doesn't, he don't care about any of this stuff anymore. He wants a ring. That's what he wants.
I mean, at this point, seeing Jokic get MVP again, do you really think the MVP matters anymore? No.
They give it to
Because
him. It's like they just give it to him all the time. Somebody else should get
I think half the
it.
league like just gives it to him because they just get either that or they forgot that the other nominees were in there because everyone thinks that really it should have went to Shai. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but SGA. Like they thought it should have went to him, and you know, whatever. MVP to me means nothing after a while once Embiid finally got it because I always feel like that stuff is just it's based on regular season, and by the playoffs, everyone's forgotten most of the regular season, so they're really thinking about now. So sometimes that doesn't apply to the postseason because we sure don't see Jokic form right now in the playoffs. They getting their asses beat. So it
When B
clearly
been
doesn't.
and then when B gets it as a center, it's like he's playing the center position, which
A center
is
who can do a lot of stuff even when
yeah.
healthy.
Who
So,
could actually easily switch to power forward. And
which is what he's had to do, which is
yeah,
sad because we're supposed to have Matt a power forward, but
yeah.
whatever. But going on between him, I'm just saying, just be thankful for Embiid and Maxi while we have, because when it becomes Maxi's team, it's going to be a whole new process. So just be thankful, fans. All right, moving on to the controversy, at not controversy, to the obvious rehashing of the old shit that we're reliving right now with podcasts between Deshaun and LaShawn, who we know feel gypped of their closure of their Eagles careers the way they sh it should
Well,
have really ended.
and they have every right to feel the way they
And
do.
no one is blaming them for their angst. I mean, I saw some people on Twitter mad because we're talking about it again, but I'm like, they never got a chance to say their part.
Well, especially after hearing what I heard,
Yeah, same. I was walking listening to it going.
because we never heard the actual details of everything. It was just
Right.
like, oh, okay, this is what happened here.
Right.
But the way, like, to hear Shady and them talk about, Shady and Deshaun talk about like how it went down and like all of a sudden and why he and it just showed you a lot of how Chip Kelly was when he didn't how he couldn't talk to black players or anything and even the white players on the team
Which
were just
I have to disregard, though, not to cut you off, but just because I forgot that Josh Huff was a black Oregon player, so that can't really
yeah
work all the time.
but that's the
But
only reason why. But the thing is, when he transferred to the NFL, he couldn't, they said he still couldn't talk to like a lot of his players. But Huff was, I guess Huff was different because he was with him all that
that's what I'm
time
saying. Yeah, I think that's the
or
only
was
reason why
there.
he separated him from players. Yeah.
And he gave them different, gave them more opportunities because of them coming from Oregon.
Which was a
Because
big freaking mistake, because you see what happened.
I mean, we don't talk about those years are just like
Blur.
but
That
it's
year's a
crazy
blur.
like
Yeah.
yeah and it, he's and the fact that all of a sudden he just traded Shady for nothing Kiko fucking Alonso like
Nico Alonso in his half shirt and his no
and
plan,
nothing and
but
not and nothing else like
nothing
nothing else
else, which is a total insult.
did you hear what he said when he was like Shady was like it was the Bills like pretty much told they told him what happened and he was like he's like, Kiko, what else? What else do you want? He was like, nothing? Okay, done.
Done, easy. He said that Rex Ryan was there at the time, and Rex Ryan said that he goes, that was the fastest trade process I've ever had in my life.
Oh yeah, when you
which
jump,
is insulting.
I would jump on it too. I don't blame the Bills though, because look,
no, at the time, no, of course. Why would you? That's your sleep is our game, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not blaming them. Don't.
Deshaun too. Only a week after he was released, found quickly, and every time he's correct, he came back and beat the Eagles' ass, much deserved. Because it was hard when he came here, and every time they could not stop him in the end zone. And I didn't want them to, because I'm like, that's his redemption. You came back on not only Washington, but who else was it? Washington.
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Oh, that's right. He was Kansas City.
Because he was in Kansas City in the Bills.
Kansas City, because LeSean went there too.
Yeah.
LeSean didn't play much that time when he got there. He got a ring. But yeah, Deshaun came back and whooped our butts as that. And then I think when he was a Raider, I think he stole on us a couple times. So there's another.
It's sad that, you know.
It's sad that he had to finish most of the prime of his career in other teams, because that energy was wasted, so that by the time he got back here in 2019 and had injury for most of the year, we didn't even really get to see him finish his run.
He didn't want to go anywhere. He even said, he was like, look, my home, he's like, my home's an hour away. My house is an hour away from here. He's like, all of a sudden he's being traded, all because this guy doesn't like him. Like,
and just so y'all know, just because I didn't clarify it clearly enough, but 2510 is the podcast we're discussing with Deshaun and LeSean that they started this year, and this was the episode that they've discussed pretty much all their feelings
yesterday or today, this morning.
Yeah, it debuted like today, and they probably recorded it like a week ago, but. The point is, it's good for us Eagles fans to have closure, because we know we didn't know enough information. We know how the Eagles kind of throw stuff under the bus. And if there's one person else, I hate to say it, but I'm blaming Lori, because he allowed a lot of that shit to develop. And as much as he probably gave him
too much power. He even said it. And, you know, and Shady and Deshaun, they didn't hold anything against Lori for all that. Because he didn't know this guy was going to become a tyrant all of a sudden. You know,
he didn't know, but the fact that he stepped in when it came down to them wanting to trade BG but not the other two is where I'm mad at Lori, because I'm like, okay, you let the two best scoring, you know, next to damn near all time scoring Eagles players go, but then you didn't want to trade BG. Now, mind you, that'd be even worse for BG, because BG had pretty much gone for a full circle now in his career to have seen a Super Bowl. So that was good on Lori to keep him, but imagine what would have happened if you would just let them go through the growing pains and just stay here.
Yeah, I also think that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back at that point, because it was like,
he probably was like, all right,
Lori was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, hold up. Night, what's going on now? Like, all of a sudden, now you want to get rid of this guy too?
Yeah. There's a lot of technicalities. I mean, of course, I'm going to get cut off here. We'll discuss another portion of this, but I just want to end this by saying, for the most part, and tie it up, is saying that we know in hindsight, easier said than done, as to whether or not that whole situation could have ended better than it planned. I just know that if you make a Mike Vick cry, that's saying a lot about the way this guy conducted himself.
You also sullied somebody's reputation by saying they're in the gangs, and he wasn't in the gangs.
And blaming all, and we all know what's going on Twitter, but we also know that some of those mainstream media journalists are really the ones behind that, and they, I'm sure, are feeling like crap today.
Well, he talked about that too.
Yeah, and we know who you are, ESP.
Had his own mother looking at him like, what's going on? What are you into?
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
And it just shows you how quick on social media you can look at things and just assume. And I'm guilty of doing it at times too. And who knows, around that time, maybe I believed in it too, because I was sick of them starting.
But AJ, the crazy thing is, social media wasn't even that big then.
It wasn't, but Twitter was still in action. And that's how they pretty much got most people, because that was at the height of Twitter and everyone believed in everything that was tweeted.
Imagine if that was today.
Today, we got so much smoke and mirrors. Yeah, that wouldn't have even happened. I think they would have had a lot of people protesting the day that was even, proposed. They would have had people rolling up in NovaCare like, don't let Deshaun go. And it would have been so much shit.
Yeah,
and he would have appreciated it. Because I think, and that's why he said they knew to bring him back. Even if some people were like, don't bring his old ass back. And I'm just like, no, he needs to close a chapter. Mm-hmm. And we know it didn't work out because of injuries. But Hell, Jalen Hurts got to say that he threw a touchdown to Deshaun in the end zone. So,
and it was pretty too.
And it was very good. It was, and I think Wentz threw one to him too. So
yeah, he got one from Wentz. He got one from Wentz.
So he got his share of both of the new breed of quarterbacks on top of what he remembers from when he was with McNabb.
And he got the didn't he get to retire? Didn't they retire him here too? Did he finish that up? Did that happen
they
yet?
They didn't retire his number, but they gave him, you know, the whole
his
ceremony.
Retirement.
Yeah, the whole retirement treatment, but his number still remains. His number should be retired, but his number is still out there. It's a shame we have so many Eagle Hall of Famers that we can't retire half the numbers because
you can't
retire everybody. We can't retire Shady. We can't retire Brian Westbrook. That's how many guys we got here that are true legends, but they run out of numbers. And unfortunately, Shady and LeSean are two of those numbers that they constantly have in rotation, but we know who the originals are, you know, and there's just something to be said about if you want to listen to the 2510, I recommend you listen to it today. Some people don't want to rehash that old era, but we have to know that the one year that they were special is all we got. You know, no Super Bowl, but it was a fun ride, but it burned out very quickly.
Yep. Definitely worth a listen. Got to listen to these guys.
Definitely listen to them because not only is it funny to hear LeSean talk about his reaction when he was traded, but to also hear Deshaun talk about how now that he's 14 years removed from the situation, how mentally it messed with his head. And you have to realize that Deshaun is a very, first of all, we got Deshaun when he was a baby cub. So for him to have thinking that most of his swagger, most of the way he carried himself was very West Coast, of course. But not only was homie starting his career just after his father passed, but you have to realize a lot of stuff Deshaun says is just all show. It doesn't initially mean he's gang banging, you know.
No.
The most recent, you know, with all the Kendrick and Drake stuff, you know, they showed him crip walking. But I'm just like, that's just from his area. That has nothing to do with.
Yeah, that's where he grew up.
That's where he grew up. Like he said, if that's the type of guys you know that went to school with you or didn't go to school with you, that's just who you. That doesn't mean he's guilty by association. And so,
yeah, exactly.
If there's one thing we Philly people should know about media and social media is that a lot of this stuff is BS. And the one thing I do regret as a fan is believing everything that was printed. And I've learned now that that team probably could have went further than we thought. But who knows? We'll never know. And we have to realize too that Vic also was in the last years of his career. And his life was about redemption outside of jail. And the fact that it started to work and it probably could have went further is the reason why Mike has become an entrepreneur outside of football to this day. So even though he went through that hell with, and unfortunately ever since that Meadowlands redemption game, we haven't been able to really see anything more of Vic.
Yeah.
We know what he could have been. We know what he's been in Atlanta. And we also know that he is a perfect example of why you don't judge a book by its cover, because you just never know. Everybody has a redemption story, and some of this stuff is bigger than football. And I'm thankful that we did experience the years we did with Deshaun and LeSean, because they were truly blessings that probably would have been bigger than life had they stayed here and blew up. God forbid they get a Super Bowl. Them Negroes would have been. They would have probably had, like, entourages out the ass. So maybe it was a humbling way for them, but I don't think that's a humble we wanted that early. We wanted them to be able to experience that, say, 2018 run, or had it been originally then, it probably would have been, what, 2012, 2011 run?
Thank God they had a coach like Andy, though, before.
Yeah, they experienced good and bad. So they experienced good and bad, and they also experienced life outside of Philadelphia. So, granted, it's never going to be Philly, and Deshaun knows that. I'm just glad he got his licks when he could get back here. But we love him. We love Shady. We'll always love G-Jack. Thank you for the many memories that you did bring here. And we're glad got to come back and retire with dignity. And we're just glad the Eagles made that up to you. So that's what I got out of most of it.
Yeah.
But what, before we end, Eddie, do you even care about this Drake-Kendrick beef?
No, because you know what? It's all publicity grab. They're doing it just to make them get them more like publicity, marketing and stuff like that. That's all it's for.
Well, who do you say won? I say Kendrick won.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm never gonna give Drake credit for being a lyricist, for being a lyricist, because Kendrick would eat his lunch every time. So, I mean, hey.
Well, I think everyone agrees that to me, the They're Not Like Us is pretty much a banger for being a diss record compared to all the ones that were put out. But I
Even
thought it was fun.
Chris Brown, when he went out to Quavo, I was like, God damn, like.
Chris Brown wasn't even supposed to be part of the conversation, and Chris Brown made a case to
But I'm
say,
sorry, I had to bring that up because that verse he put out against Quavo was insane.
I
And
heard enough of it to know. And he's rapped before, so it's not new to me. But when it was kind of like when everybody was trying to put their little,
but he can when he's backed into a corner, he can rap. So.
oh, we know Breezy got angst. Lord knows. He's a talented guy, just a little mixed up in the head.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
Who isn't, right? Get off the drugs.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, thanks for listening to Birds of a Feather. We out. We gonna be talking soon because
All right.
OTAs are kicking up, so stuff is starting to bubble, and we'll be here to talk about it in the next week or so. So, peace out, ADB. It's
Later.
BJ Princess. Take care, Birds of a Feather. We out. Bye.
Bye.